to Not So Live from Asteroid G, putting money in a pile and setting it ablaze. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy, Mike the Ghoul here, gonna talk about some expensive movies and just had his mind blown by seeing one of these movies on here that we'll get to. My goodness.
So expensive. This was prompted by an article I was reading that discussed the fact that despite the fact it made over $1 billion, yeah, the exact figure being $1.077 billion, which should make anything an automatic success, The Rise of Skywalker, the ninth Star Wars movie of the franchise, was a financial failure, actually a box office bomb. If you just compare numbers, it cost $490 million to make. It made just over $1 billion. So if you do even basic Hollywood math, 2.5 times the budget, that's a box office failure. Now, if you factor in the fact that Disney probably spent $100 million more on reshoots because they had to try and salvage this thing, since it was shot without a script and they were just improvising as they went, that's a massive bomb. And how does Star Wars, which made $1 billion, bomb? Well, you gave it to J.J. Abrams and Disney didn't have a fucking clue what they were doing.
Yeah, and not only did it box office flop, it also smashed our childhoods and franchise to death. Like, it was a shit movie in the beginning. I'm looking at this right here. Like, you said something. Like, this is the first time I've seen a movie with a budget that says net versus gross. Like, what?
Yeah, they have to do that because they don't want to admit exactly just how much they spent.
Yeah.
And, like, tax credits will come off, but other things will go on. So Hollywood math is fuzzy to begin with. But because of this, I brought up the list of the most expensive movies ever made, which is hilarious to look at, especially because most of them are modern. And that's not because, like, you know, it's just, oh, we spend more money now. It's because Hollywood has lost all sense of reason in recent years.
It's crazy. It's
crazy.
So looking at some of this list, like, we'll go over the top 20-ish, I think you said. But I mean, there is so much Disney sprinkled throughout this. Like, let's just like shotgun money against a wall and throw it away. And like, what is going on?
If we just spend more money, we can salvage this. No, a piece of shit is a piece of shit. Sometimes you just can't polish it, okay?
Yeah.
So yeah, number one is, unsurprisingly, The Rise of Skywalker, the biggest financial failure Hollywood has ever seen. Somehow both made $1 billion and failed horrendously. Let's do a little bit of a thought experiment as we go through this list. Number one was Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. Success or failure? Was it worth the $490 million Disney spent?
No.
No. Agreed.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. But then right underneath it is another one that also somehow failed yet got a sequel. Jurassic World Dominion, which cost $465 million and made just over $1 billion. So again, Hollywood fuzzy math. That was a failure, but I mean, I guess when you factor in toys and video games and so forth, Universal probably made their scratch off of that one at least.
Yeah, you're making money off of the Jurassic World name in general. Yeah. I think you know you can coattail that with your merchandise forever. I think, but damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, Jurassic World Dominion, the sixth of the Jurassic World movies, was it worth the $465 million Universal spent on it?
I will say that it was worth the nostalgia to see everybody on screen at the same time. It was not worth the money.
Okay. I agree. That movie was a piece of... Like, it was such a piece of shit that Universal didn't even bother with the dinosaurs on that one. They were held to, like, the last, like, third.
Yeah,
and for some
reason,
genetically engineered locusts are our big concern. Like, what movie am I... I thought this was Jurassic World. Where did this come from?
Henry Wu, I'm on to you, sir. Like...
And, like, Fallen Kingdom then made $1.3 billion off of a similar $465 million budget.
Yep,
that kind of makes sense that Dominion made the least of all of them. But, like, all the same, God, Universal spent a lot of stupid money on some fucked up dinosaurs.
I know, right? That's almost $1 billion right there between two movies with, you know, let's just pay fucking Star-Lord whatever he wants kind of money, I guess. Like, I don't even know what the heck that is. Again, I'm seeing, like, budget on Fallen Kingdom, $170 million to $465 million. We're just not going to fucking tell you? Like, okay.
That's quite the range right there, guys. That's a lot. Like,
that's some real Trump math going on right there.
$170 million, it's a huge success. $465 million, it's kind of not anymore, guys. Like, which is the... So,
one is 10 times your money, one is barely two.
Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom also cost $465 million. The fifth of the Jurassic Park movies. Was that worth the money?
Absolutely not.
No, like, I don't think it was. Universal made their money back, so good for them. But that was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Star Wars The Force Awakens, $447 million, and it made over $2 billion. So, financially speaking, it was a success. It was quite huge success, as Portal would say. I would even grant that despite the fact that it was basically just a retread of the first three movies, it was the Star Wars for the new Star Wars era. It wasn't a bad film.
No, of the new trilogy, it is by far the best, and it knew that what it was doing. It was basically, like you said, it was a New Hope reskinned, is what it was, and it worked in every aspect of that. It touched on all the right notes. You know, cue the fucking Homelander meme. It was perfect, down to the last minute detail, but it was perfect, and then you shit all over it.
Yeah, it's the thing of I didn't particularly enjoy it, but I'm not a huge Star Wars fan anymore. We've discussed that. Episode 1 ruined me on the franchise forever. I will hold a grudge against midichlorians until the day I die. It's just the way it is. I can't help it. But, like, I can grant that J.J. Abrams tapped into something.
Yeah.
He made a very dumb version of A New Hope because it's not a smart movie. It has a lot of real scientific flaws. But it did hit people right in their nostalgic feels. And even if that didn't work for me, it worked for a lot of people. So I think for once I have to grant this movie worth the money.
It was. This movie wasn't the Star Wars we deserved, but it was the Star Wars, I guess, that we needed. So.
I guess it's the one we got, that's for sure.
Yeah, either one.
Back to Universal burning huge piles of cash. Fast 10. I'm not even sure how you're supposed to say this. Is it Fast 10? Is it Fasten? Is it Fast X? Like, I don't even know.
I don't know. All I know is it's not about the cars anymore, and I'm blown away that this is number five on this list.
Come on, was it ever about the cars? It's always been about family, man.
You know what? All right, I thought you were going to do something different there, and you got me, sir. This movie is about family.
It's always about family,
At least that theme is true.
So, movie cost $378.8 million because Vin Diesel thought that he had a runaway success that could never fail him. And, in fairness, up till this point, the Fast movies from, like, 5 onward made $1 billion every time. Like, $1.5, $1.7 billion. This was a money-printing machine. And then this one only made $714.4 million. So it was a financial failure.
It was, yeah. A lot of stars in that movie. You got the whole band back together. Except Paul Walker, rest in peace, sir. You know, like, a lot of good things in that movie with ideas, but I think, you know, we haven't gotten a new one. When was that came out?
That came out in 2023.
Okay, that's a lot closer than I thought. Never mind.
Well, but they haven't even started. I don't even think they've officially started really filming the next one. They keep teasing that they're going to. But
I think we need a break.
Fast X Part 2. Well, okay, I will grant them they can put Fast X Part 2 out, and then let's just not for a while. You know, let's take a break. Maybe let Dominic Toretto's son grow up, and 10 years from now we can start the family operation up again. We need some time away from the stupid cars.
Like, family needs to spend some time with family.
Yep. Fast X, not worth the money.
No.
Nope. Pirates of the Caribbean, we're back to Disney burning money, and we'll be here for quite some time now. This is Disneyland that we've entered. On Stranger Tides, the fourth of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, which I think is actually one of the better ones because at least it tries to tell a different story and give Captain Jack an arc. It's not great, don't get me wrong, but it's watchable. Yeah.
Captain Jack is such a strange character. Like, you know, like he's really good until you think about it again over and over again. He doesn't get he's supposed to have some sort of hero arc in the first trilogy, and he kind of gets that, it's not really. It's really about Will and Elizabeth, you know.
Yeah, but no, this one was fine. It was just fine.
It was okay.
It was fine. It cost $410.6 million to make. It made $1.46 billion at the box office, which maybe makes it squeak through as a financial success.
Perhaps.
Maybe. Worth the money? Yeah. Not really.
No, I don't think so. I think that, like, you know, the best part about the Pirates movies over time was Barbossa. So I'm glad he got a big arc in this one, too. Mm-hmm. But worth the money? No. Decent movie? Yes.
It was fine. I think I could have been fine if we had just stopped with three. Legitimately, I could have been fine if we just stopped with one.
Yeah.
So, Disney continuing to burn money. We are now up to Avengers Age of Ultron. Yeah. Box office was $1.405 billion, so it made a lot of money. on a budget of maybe $495.2 million. It's got a range, but we'll go with the high range on that one. The second of the Avengers movies, capping off Phase 2 for Marvel, giving us the villain of Ultron and a lot of faffing around without doing a whole lot of anything. I don't like this movie.
One of my least favorite crescendo Marvel movies is this one. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, some aspects of it. I think James Spader plays a good villain to a degree, but I just like James Spader. So, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. Worth the money? I don't know. I don't think so, right?
I can't get behind it. Like, yes, it was a financial success for Disney, but at that point, it was the second Avengers movies. They could have had, like, Captain America reading the phone book, and it would have made $1.5 billion. I think they spent way too much money for a guaranteed success.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Which, speaking of, Avengers Endgame cost $356 million, and yeah, it made $2.7 billion. It's a financial success. We've talked about this movie before. Like, if this had been the series finale, I don't think anyone would argue with how much Disney spent. They could have spent twice as much, and it still would have been fine. It could it would have made all the money ever, and we would have seen it. Like, plenty of that was on screen. Plenty of it was the stars. This is a financial success and worth the money, sure.
Yeah.
I just think that we should have stopped right here.
Agreed. You know, like, the fact that this is number 8, and this is the most successful movie in terms of money make back that we've seen so far.
Yep.
And this crescendoed, almost 10, 15 years with the storytelling?
10 years and 21 movies. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, into a wonderful little package that wrapped up, you know, in that perfect way. And they could have spent double the money, you're right. And maybe it would have made even a little bit more, who knows. But, like, as far as successes go, you know, this one printed money, 100%.
Yep. 100%, worth it. I think Disney probably could have spent less. I think Disney probably could have made a slightly more controlled version of this movie. I think they didn't quite have to go to the excess that they did. So maybe not worth the $356 they spent, but then they made $2.7 billion. So who am I to argue? Like, come on. Yeah.
This movie is why we have movies that are more expensive now.
This movie is why Disney thinks they can just keep throwing money at a problem and it will stick. Speaking of, a movie they threw more and more money at to try and fix a problem, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. This is a piece of shit that only made $384 million, and it was absolutely not worth the money.
Yeah, this movie was bad.
Yes.
Just bad all around. You know, you tried to, you wrote out Shia LaBeouf's character and some random off-screen death that, like, you know, I know people say what you want about Shia LaBeouf. He was a big part of the Crystal Skull movie. It was clearly his story. And this movie was just like, I mean, this does not exist in my Indiana Jones repertoire of movie knowledge. It's a piece of shit. This isn't worth the toilet paper you're wiping your ass with.
I like the intro sequence with the de-aged Harrison Ford on an adventure. Like, sure. But they could have just done that as an anime, and I probably would have enjoyed the hell of it that way. In fact, I think for the most part, if they could have just done, like, a World War II set adventure that took place between movies with Harrison Ford as, an animated character, like, all of them, like, anime, and just done that, this would have been more successful than what we got. Dial of Destiny feels like it's old, it's tired, it's just not interesting.
It didn't feel like Harrison Ford was having fun playing Indiana Jones anymore.
No, like, they threw money at him and he said, sure.
All right.
And he showed up, like, I'm 80, I'll do it. And he got to ride a horse and he got to do some stunts and he seemed like he tried to rise to the occasion, but he's 80. The dude
I'm
can
90.
Only do some... Yeah,
I'm 99% sure that he is older in this movie than Sean Connery was in The Last Crusade.
Like, he is. Yeah.
Like, you should stop.
Yeah. Well, they have to, because this movie bombed hard, and I don't think Disney ever wants to touch the Indiana Jones franchise again.
Let's keep it that way. Keep the stunt show at Hollywood Studios, and that one's good. Keep it there. That'll be my Indiana Jones from Disney from now on.
Marvel movies, because they get all the money spent on them. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which I don't think is a bad movie, necessarily. Yeah. It's not a good one, but it's not a bad one. $414.9 million to make, assuming no tax breaks or other things. $955.8 million at the box office. Technically a success, but like we're cutting hairs on that one to get it over the line.
Yeah, this is like as close as you're gonna get, I think, to being worth the money. It was a good movie. It had, like, you know, some good teases in there. There were Easter eggs and, you know, whatever, spoilers for a three-year-old movie if you didn't know that. But is it worth the money?
That's a hard press. Like,
it's a hard one.
If we got more Doctor Strange after this one, I think I'd probably be okay with it. Like, it was nice getting Sam Raimi back. It was nice having Doctor Strange again. It was an interesting adventure, even if not a, like, super useful one for his character. Like, we didn't learn anything new about his character that we didn't already know from the previous movies.
Right.
But, like, if it was just one movie and a string of Doctor Strange movies, that's fine. At this point, it feels like it's the last Doctor Strange movie we're ever going to get. And on that note, it's not a good movie.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, it promises more than it delivers, and it kind of feels flat. So, like, maybe it made money, but I don't think it was worth the money Disney threw at it.
Right, I'll agree with that.
Yep. Avatar, The Way of Water, which technically is a Disney movie because they bought Fox to get this, among other things. Certainly worth the money from a financial perspective, because it cost $490 million and made $2.343 billion at the box office. Is James Cameron just a license to print money at this point?
I feel like James Cameron is, like, turned into the Daniel Day-Lewis in certain aspects of, like, I'll come out, I'll do something every now and again that's really wonderful, and then I'll just go into the shadows for a while. 13 years between movies, and this was good. I have shit on Avatar with my wife for years. I think the ship has sailed. It's been too long. We're going to get, what, 4 more of these fucking things or whatever?
At least, yeah. He'll just keep making them until he dies every couple years. And he filled this next set back to back to back. So, like, every 2 to 3 years, he'll have another one out. And that was in part to keep all the actors at, like, their age and voice and everything so they sounded right and performed right and everything. Like, he'll just keep making these because he can. And all he has to do is, like, well, I have another element I can explore. We did air and we did water. Here's fire coming next. And then, like, earth. And after that one, maybe fucking heart or some shit. I don't know.
You know, I love that, like, this is starting. Like, you just hit a nerve, a thing for me there. Like, Avatar, the James Cameron versus Avatar, The Last Airbender. Maybe we're going to hit on every element, and there is a tie-in between Avatar, Blue People, and Avatar, The Last Airbender. And it's finally there 20 years later. Like,
it's like, you didn't realize the bending movie I was making.
Yep. Like, I'm bending your will to like the movie right now.
I thought the original Avatar was boring as shit. I thought Avatar, The Way of Water was, if better, only slightly. I don't care about either of them. They're dumb. Big, very pretty 3D movies, and it seems like the world is held by sway over the fact that James Cameron makes very pretty 3D movies, which, sure, fine, great, whatever, I don't care. Mm-hmm. But as far as being worth the money, for everyone else, seems like.
I mean, I'm going to say this one is a success overall, and I think it's hopefully will continue to be. Like, if these consistently can make $2 billion on these kind of budgets, they're going to be successful and worth the money.
Keep Disney afloat somehow. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Wow, I don't even think we need to look at the budget to know that this one was an absolute failure on all fronts. But
I'm not going to lie, I didn't even see that. I skipped over it.
just to see how much money Disney burned on this bonfire. $388.4 million, and they made $476.1 million, one of the first financial failures the Marvel franchise ever had. It's also a terrible movie, not worth the money.
I mean, 2023 looks like it was a pretty poor year for Disney between that and Dial of Destiny being in the same year. Oh, dear.
Yeah, it was not a good year for Disney. Disney has been struggling ever since Endgame.
Oh, wow. There's some more Disney 2023 in here we haven't even gotten to yet. Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah. No, it's... This is bad on every front for them. They are struggling. Yeah. So, Avengers, Infinity War. I mean, okay, so the first half of their big successful thing, they made $2 billion on this. It cost $400 million to make. Yes, okay, sure, success. All the reasons we said for Endgame apply to this, except for the fact that it wasn't the last movie in the franchise, so it gets some grace.
Exactly, yep. 100% agree. I don't think we need to go too much into this one.
We don't need to. Netflix somehow spent $320 million on a movie they didn't even release in theaters.
This blew my mind. This is what shocked me as I was skimming when you said top 20. I haven't seen
State.
This one yet.
Nope.
I haven't seen this yet. We're talking Electric State, but I saw Damsel on Netflix too. Well, we could talk about that if you see it. They're leaning into Millie Bobby Brown hard on Netflix, and she's pulling through. I haven't seen this one, so I'm going to hold off my judgment. Have you seen it?
No, I didn't, because I saw all the reviews for it and everything, like, lambasted. This is one of the worst movies Netflix has ever made. And somehow, directed by, please note this, the Russo brothers, who did the Avengers movies, and they blew $320 million on a movie no one liked and didn't get a theatrical release. I don't care what you say. I don't care how many subscriptions Netflix gets for this. This was not worth the money.
Wow. Yeah, and I'm looking at the cast here. Like there is some star
Chris
power.
Pratt,
Stanley
Millie Bobby Brown,
Tucci,
yeah, all kinds of
Giancarlo
people.
Esposito, Anthony Mackie, and our new Captain America, Woody Harrelson, Jason Isaacs. Like, goodness gracious. I'm
Yeah.
assuming a lot of them are voices
Oh,
based off of
yeah.
the art on the poster, but like goodness gracious.
Yeah, it's
This I don't know if it's worth the money just seeing those names.
a who's who of stars and also Hollywood's, hey, it's that guy.
Yeah, for
Like
sure.
the Leonardo DiCaprio meme where he's pointing at the TV going, I know this one.
Yes.
Oh, okay. 2023 for Disney should not surprise you that they burned even more money because this is The Marvels, which was
This is
outright bomb. Sorry, Disney. I actually kind of like this movie, but you spent $374 million on it. You made $206 million. No one was interested in a theatrical spin-off of two of your shows in another movie. And Disney, I think, learned a valuable lesson in some respects because they're not going to do that again. But also, I feel bad that their female-led superhero movie died.
You're gonna hard agree with that. Like, if you thought 2023 was bad for Disney, this one is the worst of the bunch so
Yep.
far. And like, halfway decent story and okay movie, and that's just kind of sad.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
It's 2023. And as we're
Yeah.
seeing, the name Disney doesn't hold the clout it used to. Theaters don't hold the clout that they used to because of COVID. And
Yeah.
people just aren't showing up for a big, bland blockbuster just because it's out there the way they used to. You actually got to give them something they care about. And
Well,
even Star Wars couldn't get over
why would you want to do that when you can just stay home and watch The Electric State, I guess now, really?
that.
Mean, right?
Oof. Nice dig, though. Really,
Yeah.
really. Shove it in there.
Call a
Okay.
spade a spade, man.
Okay. Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. So this is the third one of
Yeah,
the
this wraps
set.
up the
This
trilogy,
wraps
yeah.
up the trilogy. 300 million to make, 963.4 million at the box office. Almost a billion. Certainly a financial success, but everything we said about the previous Pirates movie kind of holds sway here too. I don't feel
Yeah.
like I needed it. Yes, it closes out the trilogy. Yes, it gives everyone an arc. Yay, we got to have more Captain Jack. Did we need it?
Nah, probably not. I
No.
mean, if you want to tie a bow around the story, sure. I would say it was fairly successful, though. I'm fine with it as a movie as a whole.
You give it a thumb up, I give it a thumb down as far as the finance is concerned. That's fair. Justice League, wow. So, financial failure, 300 million to make, 661 million at the box office, and then it cost them another 70 million to redeem it with Zack Snyder on HBO later. I don't think any of that was ever worth the money. I feel like this is like as much as I wanted DC to succeed, this was just a giant pile of burning cash that like WB should have seen coming the second they put Man of Steel on screen. The fact that they thought Zack Snyder could hold sway on a whole series of movies, that was their mistake right there.
Yeah, we've shit on this movie several times. This
We'll do it
isn't worth
again. We'll do it
the
again too, I'm sure.
This
Yeah.
isn't worth the media it's printed on. It's a terrible movie. The Snyder Cut's moderately better, but again, now you got to tack on another hour to an already 2 hour plus movie. Like it, this, no, not
No,
worth it.
not worth at all. Here's where you and I are going to have some disagreement. Star Wars: The Last Jedi. I know you don't like this movie. I know I do like this movie. But here's a credit to Rian Johnson, in case you're wondering. That man came in at budget and made a movie that was successful. 300 million to make, 1.3 billion at the box office. The man made Disney money.
You know what? It's sad that I gotta call this a success. Well, it's a
Yeah.
not a good movie, and this I will hold my feelings in disregard when referencing the financial success of a movie, even though he ruined so many characters. Yes,
You
this
and I
movie
have
was
had this
successful.
conversation before. I don't agree with that. I do think there are some parts of that movie that are not great. I do appreciate the fact that he found an arc for Luke Skywalker, even if you didn't like it. It's at least an arc that doesn't reset him back to zero to get him to do the same thing all over again. And that last third of the movie with the anime smash of one spaceship against another, and then that whole battle on the ice planet, fucking gorgeous. The man directed the hell out of that film.
I'm gonna have to watch it again.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna have to watch it again. And I know this is gonna be another instance where I'm like, okay, it wasn't that bad. Because now I'm going into this without the thought of this is gonna be, you know, just as good in my favorite compared to the way I love the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go into it with a more open mind, because this Empire, it was certainly not.
No, it's not Empire. But he wasn't on J.J. Abrams' page. J.J. Abrams wanted to remake Star Wars. He wanted someone to remake Empire and then someone to remake Return of the Jedi. That's what he wanted. And he tried with all of his might to remake Return of the Jedi without having Empire in the middle. And that's part of the reason why The Rise of Skywalker is so awful.
Yeah.
But Rian Johnson was not on the same page. He's like, I'm not doing what your plan is. I'm just going to go make my own movie. And they got Rian Johnson to make a Rian Johnson movie. He did exactly what he said he was going to, and he made money with it, even if fans didn't like it as much.
So, I gotta say, successful as a movie, much as I would like to say no, I cannot argue with dollars.
Nope, can't argue with dollars, and can't argue with the fact that Disney still apparently wants to make a trilogy with him at some point.
We'll see, I guess.
Who knew? And then finally, for the last two, back-to-back, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning and Mission Impossible The Final Reckoning. These are Paramount, finally getting on the list to burn their own piles of cash, and I know you haven't seen one of them, but wow, they burned a lot of money on these.
They did. You would think they'd save a few bucks here and there with Tom Cruise doing his own stunts, maybe, because, you know, at least visually these movies are still fantastic. I'm not going to say that it was worth the money, though, based off of what it made back. You know, enjoy the movies for what they are. And, you know, they're good. I will see The Final Reckoning very soon. Dead Reckoning was very good. Very, very, very good. You know, the fact that that didn't make that much money is kind of disappointing.
So, like, Dead Reckoning cost $291 million, made $571.1 million at the box office. A failure. It did not make even close to two times its money, let alone 2.5. The Final Reckoning then came out after much hemming and hawing from Paramount and an attempt to salvage a movie that was supposed to come out, like, months later and then came out 2 years later.
Right.
That was a budget of upwards of $400 million to make $598.8 million. Also a bomb, and probably shut down the Mission Impossible franchise for plenty of years to come, if we ever get it back again. So yeah, failure on all fronts in that regard. As far as the actual story is concerned, Dead Reckoning is good on its own, if it led into a movie that could follow up with it. It is, weirdly, just a retread of the story from Person of Interest, but with bigger budgets and special effects and stunts and Tom Cruise trying to kill himself, so, you know, yay. But when you get to it, The Final Reckoning is just an hour of retreading all the movies we've seen before, and then 2 hours of barely getting anywhere before the movie just ends. And it's painful to sit through. I wanted to like that movie because there's some good stunts that could happen, but it just it doesn't come together. And Paramount wasted over $500 million to make barely that back at the box office, and that's on them.
It kind of is. I'll have to agree with you on that one. Financially unsuccessful movies, B plus,
C minus, depending. Definitely not to the high standards of the original, like, especially from like 3 through 6. Those are gold star A plus movies, and these are just okay.
Crazy to look at, though. Like you're saying, those are the gold star standards. They're not on this list yet.
No. In fact, I'm look scrolling down the list, just looking for them right now. They're not on the list at all. They were made cheaply and effectively. Like, if we move further on the list, which we're just going to cover, like Solo, A Star Wars Story, suffered from reshoots. Snow White suffered from reshoots. John Carter suffered from reshoots. And you'll
know. John Carter is a good movie, too, people. If you haven't seen it, that is a good one. It's good.
But you'll note, Disney. Warner Brothers burning their money again with Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Disney. Like, Disney burns so much money on this list, it's ridiculous. But some of them, like, at a certain point, once we get down to the 30s, Furious 7, Fate of the Furious, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, now we're at a point where the $1 billion or so that they made on a budget of $250 million, that's actually a financial success. I can't even argue that right now. I don't think the Fate of the Furious is a good movie, but it made, like, $1.5 billion. I can't argue that Universal came out ahead on that one.
Exactly. I'm looking at Avatar, too. I'm number 41 on the list from 2009. $237 million to make it. Almost made $3 billion.
Yeah.
That is 10 times your ROI right there. That's crazy.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. Like, there are some movies that have made more than that, better return on investment financially, but that's because they cost, like, $50,000 to make and then somehow made over $1 million. And you're like, wow, you're rolling in it now. But, like, for the most part, most of these are just, like, you know, you dump money on a problem and hope it solves itself. And Hollywood is getting to the point where they really, really can't anymore.
And you know, some of these are good movies too. You know, like Dawn of Planet of the Apes. That was a good other one lower on the list. Yeah. 170 to 235 to make 700 million it made. Like that's a success. Like that's a good, and it's a good story. You don't have to throw $400 million at the wall. Like take the time to write a little bit.
Yeah, and then there's Tenet, which is
we still don't get it.
I don't know what I watched. It was time travel, but not, and like something about like Tenants.
I don't know. He's got like the Force or something. I don't even know what it is, man. Like, I don't even know what he's got anymore.
And why did Battleship cost $209 million to make? That's such a piece of shit.
Oh, that's sad. Oh, look at Rogue One doing her very best job here. 42 on the list, $200 million or so to make, made $1 billion. Rogue One. Yeah, is a good damn movie.
See, that's the sweet spot right there for Hollywood blockbusters. Right now. Can you get in under $200 million? Do you have a story that will get people to show up for $1 billion? You're aces right there. Yeah. Good to go. The problem with modern Hollywood now, and we can use this as our wrap up, is that like they look at these and like, if it doesn't cost $200 billion to make, we don't want to make it anymore. Those independent $20 million comedies that could just like go to a theater, make $100 million and then come back. Hollywood doesn't even think that's worth making because it's not making more than $100 million, which is stupid. Because that's your bread and butter right there. You release those every couple weeks and you just roll in the cash. They don't want to make those anymore.
They don't. And you know, I like to say, like, when I worked in retail, like my department in the store, it didn't make money as much compared to like, you know, the other ones, but we kept the lights on.
Yeah.
And it seems like they've forgotten how to keep their own lights on.
Yeah.
Make these little movies, give yourself the ability to throw $500 million at something because you made money on ones that didn't cost that much. Like it's a poor recipe and movies aren't getting cheaper, right? No. Like you go to the movies, it's $50 if you see something in 3D. Like it's crazy.
Well, it's like when you go to a game store, you have all the expensive books, you have all the expensive dice, but why do you still have the plastic dice and the little collectibles up front? Because people will only buy those books once, but they will buy the little things constantly, and that's what keeps your lights on. You get the little things to afford the big thing, and Hollywood only wants the big thing. They no longer want the little thing, and it's hurting their bottom line, and it's unsustainable.
You know, once we get down to these 200 millions ish, like you're making money if you're doing a good movie.
So. Yeah. Oh, the one other thing that I thought was fascinating, just from a I didn't realize this perspective, I didn't realize we've gotten multiple productions of Ben-Hur. Like,
wow.
Yeah. Ben-Hur 59, Ben-Hur 20. I just didn't realize there was the 20s version. Like, I didn't know that there was even one remake at all. So it's fascinating to me that we have gotten three versions of this fucking movie.
I didn't realize 2016. What?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It flopped at the box office. Speaking of,
I didn't even know that was a thing. God.
Speaking of Hollywood burning money, cost $110 million to make, made 94.1 at the box office because people were sitting there going, "I've seen Ben-Hur. Why are you showing me Ben-Hur again?" But yeah, it was just amusing to me to scroll down this list to see Ben-Hur at 1925, then to go further and see Ben-Hur again. I'm like, wait, what?
Wow. Well, people love throwing money at Ben-Hur, apparently.
Yeah, like Wayne's World meme. A sphincter says what? like what?
Exactly.
But, yeah, but like some of these are actually good movies. Like they cost a lot of money, but a lot of these are actually good movies. Like Say What You Will About Gone with the Wind. I think it's a piece of shit, but it is one of the most successful movies of all time.
It's one of those iconic movies.
Yeah, it is. And like Superman from 1978 held the record until Rambo took it 10 years later, which like Rambo, massively successful film. Like, how do you argue with that? Terminator 2, Judgment Day held it for 3 years, and then Titanic came along and cost $200 million to make and was almost beaten like a decade later. But when you talk about return on investment, you don't go wrong with Titanic.
$200 million to make a cool $2.2 billion.
Yeah.
Like, that is when James Cameron started printing money, and he's been doing it ever since.
Like, no one questions him now. You're like, you want to spend how much on this? Okay. All right, that's fine. Go for it.
You want to go down to the actual wreck of the Titanic? Oh, sure.
We're not even arguing it anymore. You make all the money for us you want.
Yeah. Goodness gracious.
So long as you don't ever touch the Terminator franchise again, because, man, those are pieces of shit now, we're fine. You're good.
Yeah. Oh, what is True Lies doing? Oh, my God. True Lies?
It costs a lot to make. But it also made money. It made money because James Cameron.
Did.
Yep.
It did. That's one of my fun little guilty pleasure Arnold movies. I love True Lies.
I always think of True Lies as Arnold Schwarzenegger doing his apology and gimme for Last Action Hero. It sits in exactly the same zone. Like, it's trying to be a comedy action movie parody of what Arnold Schwarzenegger does. Stealing a police horse and then having to give it a lecture so it performs for him. It's hilarious, but it's also the better version of Last Action Hero in some respects because it stays truer to what Arnold does.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm going to throw one more out here that made some good money back in the day and is another guilty pleasure movie. 1988, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I like that movie. It's a good one.
To make.
It's a good
50
one.
Million, and it made $350 million.
Yeah.
That's some crazy return on value.
That's good.
There.
Seven times. That's what Hollywood likes to see. Strange that we never got a sequel.
Well, that's the only time in history in any kind of media you've seen Disney and Warner Brothers on screen at the same time.
Yep.
And they only did that because they needed equal amounts of time between both. That was the only way the studio would give it. So Daffy and Donald, same amount of time. Mickey and Bugs, on the same amount of time. Like, brilliant.
It worked. But yeah, no, Hollywood just needs to do better. It's just sad. Oh, well.
Yeah, I expect more.
This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, writing our own adaptation of Ben-Hur. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, we're Mike the Ghoul's here, man. We're going to make sure no one gets run over by a chariot.
Apparently, there's still story to explore in this. I didn't realize.
Yeah, Ben-Hur's got some history, man.
We will see you all next time.